Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them," and the next two words will be the subject of the sermon this morning, "and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And going on thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Heavenly Father, simple truth this morning, but Lord, we're going to need your help to apply it to our situation and our life. Jesus, I believe that you still are whispering these two words. I believe, Lord, throughout the history of Christendom, Lord, since these days that we read about, since you walked the shores of Galilee from heaven, you're still speaking these two words into the hearts and into the ears of your children. And so, Lord, I pray this morning we'd pay special attention to it, that we would learn from it, Lord, and that we would learn to obey this simple command, follow me. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And if you got your Bible open, I might have you just turn to these places. If you'll turn a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, if you'll look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 8. And verse number 18, we'll read another story. Watch this, Matthew 8, 18. "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart into the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Matthew chapter 9, if you look at verse number 9, Matthew 9, verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Matthew chapter 16, a few chapters into the book, we'll read one verse, Matthew chapter 16, and if you'll find verse number 24, Matthew 16 and verse number 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." I'll read some out of the Gospel of John. I'll just read these to you. John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, Follow me. John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. John 12, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then the closing chapter of the Gospel of John, a conversation with Peter. And Jesus said, for the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In the Gospels, 18 different times you'll read, Jesus used this two-word phrase, follow me, 18 different times. 12 of the 18 times, Jesus uses these words as a command couched in the form of an invitation. Jesus looked at two pairs of fishermen, both pairs were brothers, and he invited them to leave their boats with two simple words, follow me. Jesus looked at two different potential disciples that were finding excuses to delay their obedience and challenged them with these two simple words, follow me. Jesus passed an IRS agent who was busy collecting taxes and offered him a much better job with two simple words, follow me. Jesus lifted up his voice to the multitude and offered to them an any man invitation to deny oneself, pick up a cross and follow me. Jesus discussed discipleship with a rich young ruler. In his head, he wanted to serve the Lord, but in his heart, he was bound to his riches. And with two simple words, Jesus invited him to a life of service and a life of sacrifice. Those two whispered words were, follow me. In the Gospel of John, Jesus sought out a man by the name of Philip and spoke these two simple words, follow me. And Philip did. Later in the same gospel, Jesus taught on the subject of the good shepherd and spoke these words, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In the last chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus told a backslidden disciple that he would die a martyr's death if he returned into the ministry. Then Jesus spoke again, two simple words, follow me. Millions of times since the writing of the Gospels, Jesus has offered this invitation, issued this command to Christians of every nationality, of every age, of every creed, of every era. If you're saved, by the way, let me say this first. If you're not saved, Jesus will come to you and urge you to accept him. If you are saved, Jesus will return to you and urge you to follow him. And even if you backslide, aren't you glad that Jesus will come back and find you and invite you once again to follow him? This morning, I want to examine just one of these stories that I've read, the story that we read in Matthew chapter 4. And so if you want to return to that story, Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22, I want to examine just one of these stories and make some observations about this two-word command. By the way, as I do so, I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the Lord. You know, the wonderful thing about coming to church is we all read the same Bible story and we all hear the same sermon, but the Holy Spirit of God is so good about taking the message and talking to each of us individually. And I want you to think about what we say and what we observe in this story, but I want you to apply it to your life because I think Jesus is still in the business of coming to us and challenging us, urging us to simply follow him. It's such a simple command. And yet at the same time, I think that many, many Christians will get to their lives and if they were honest, and they will be honest at the judgment seat of Christ, they live their lives basically saying, God, I'm going this direction. Why don't you follow me? And that's not the way the Christian life is supposed to work. We're not supposed to choose our path. We're not supposed to make our decisions. We're not supposed to do what we want to do and then turn around and act as if God is our little servant boy that is to follow along behind us. And anytime we get in a scrap or in trouble or need him, he's supposed to come to the rescue as we choose our own way. I think what we need to understand is when Jesus commanded us with these two words, he intended to be in the lead of our lives. He intended to be the engine of the train, not the caboose. And I just want to ask you an honest question as you listen to this and as you listen to God. Where is God in relationship to your life? I mean, are you following him or are you stepping out doing what you want to do and expecting him to follow you? Here's the title of the message, very simple this morning, Follow Me. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus called two sets of brothers. First of all, Simon and Peter, and then also Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, and then James and John. And both of them, he issued the same invitation. Now, let me just make some observations as we look through Matthew chapter 4. Number one, the command came from Christ. The command came from Christ. Now, that ought to mean something to us, all right? This is not the only invitation you'll get in life. The world will come to you and say, follow me. The world will come to you and say, follow me. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. As Christians, are we allowing the world to conform us to their image? Or are we following Jesus Christ and asking him to conform us to his image? So sad that many, many people who claim to be Christians, if you were to follow them around over the course of a week's time, you would not notice much difference between them and any other person in the world. That ought not to be the case. But I will tell you that the world will come to you and say, follow me. And we have been pressured to conform to what the world thinks is right. And what we need to do is read the Bible and follow Christ and be conformed to what he says is right. Matter of fact, the Bible will go so far as to warn us against the love that we could develop for the world and the things that are in the world. In 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world will come and say, hey, follow me. And many, many young people, listen to me, young people, are simply just listening to the world, turning on the TV set, listening to their music, watching what they believe is acceptable, mimicking them in every area of their life. And that is the pattern that you are embracing. Hey, there's a better way to live. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The command came from Christ, but this is not the only invitation you'll get. Sin will come to you and say, follow me. I want to remind you quickly this morning that the wages of sin is death. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says that sin does have pleasure, but it's for a season. And I want to say this, I can tell you this, having tried to help a lot of people that fell for this lie of following sin to pleasure, that season is a very short season. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so the world will come and say, follow me. Sin will come and say, follow me. Satan will come and say, follow me. And again, the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies. The Bible says he's a murderer from the beginning. I don't know why in the world, with that resume, you would say, that's who I want to lead my life. Why would you follow him? All the devil's apples have razor blades. Young people, you better listen. His dainties are laced with poison. His paths lead to destruction. Don't follow the devil. A lot of young people have done it. He will use you, then he will abuse you. And by the way, when he has stolen that which is pure and precious from you, he'll lose you. I don't know about you, but I'd rather follow the one who proved to me that he loved me. Say, how did he prove it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, what are you doing, preacher? I'm just bringing Jesus up in front of you and say, hey, he's the one you ought to follow. He's the one you ought to follow. He invites you, so just follow him. Aren't you glad that God is the God of a second chance? You say, preacher, you talk about the world and the sin and the devil, and I could stand up and tell a little bit about that. And there's been a portion of my life that the world has corrupted and sin has stained and the devil has stolen. Well, aren't you glad that God still comes to you at any time of your life and says, hey, are you ready now? Are you ready now? Why don't you just follow me? The command, first of all, came from Christ. Number two, the command demanded a cost. It demanded a cost. These men were gainfully employed. These men worked in the family business. These men possessed commercial boats and all the gear necessary for earthly success. As long as they were willing to work hard, these men were set up for life, set up financially. And then this stranger shows up and offers this invitation, interrupts everything. I can't think about that without thinking about the way God delightfully interrupted my mom and dad's life. People hear that my dad was a pastor for 41 years and they assume that I was born into a Christian family. I was not. When I was born into the household of Bob and Donna Ross, they were unchurched and unsaved, and a young couple in the late 1960s just working hard and living their life and seeking pleasure, but always this emptiness. Yes, some measure of financial success, but always this emptiness. And you know what? The command came one day from Jesus Christ. Hey, why don't you accept me? Why don't you let me change your life? Why don't you follow me? And you know what? He interrupted their lives, but it came at a cost. It came at a cost. As my mom and dad got saved into Rock Run Baptist Church, they bought that little 24-acre mini farm, and that was Dad's dream place. And yet, 1966, he got saved. In 1966 through 1970, I believe almost anything and everything God asked them to do, they were willing to do. And then God called them, my father, into the gospel ministry in 1970. And you know what? That man, a for sale sign, went up in the front yard of that little mini farm. And whatever God's will was from that point on, are you listening to me? That may not be the same path for you. But again, I want to just ask you to examine your life. Are you just living your life saying, God, I need you to tag along and clean up my messes for me? Or are you saying, God, you know what I need to do? I need to submit to your leadership. I need to put you first in my life. I need to follow you. So we see that the command came from Christ, but the command also demanded a cost. Number three, the command created a choice. The command created a choice. Just because Jesus commanded it did not mean that they did not have options. That they did not have options. They could have simply looked at each other, looked at their daddy, looked at the family business, looked at the boat full of fish and said, nah, I think I'm okay. Every single week of my life, I talk to somebody and offer them an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And every single week of my life, somebody looks at me and basically says this, no, thanks, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. And you know what? Jesus won't force himself on anyone. You know what he'll do? He'll offer you salvation, but he won't make you get saved. When I talk to people at the door, I'll say, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And well, I'm not for sure. Could I show you from the Bible how you could know that for sure? And by the way, all I can do is show you. What you do with it is 100% up to you. And by the way, folks, that is as it ought to be. You know what, if we're going to either gain the reward of making a positive decision to accept Jesus Christ and to follow him, or if we are to suffer the consequences of not doing that, it should be a result of our own choice. And God did not make robots. He did not make puppets. He created all of us with a free will. And you know what, even though he paid such a tremendous price, he still allows every man, every woman, every teenager, every child to decide for themselves, do you want me? Will you accept me? Will you let me save you? Will you let me cleanse you and forgive you? Will you let me be your Savior? I've offered it. I've paid the price. I hold out the gift of eternal life. But many, many, many people will live their life with God holding that gift out. And we'll simply look at it and walk away. And so the command created a choice, a choice. They either had to stay or they had to go. They could have remained fishers of fish, or they could become fishers of men. The following required leaving. The following required leaving. They had to make a choice. They could not choose both. Jesus wants you, I want to say this again, to choose him. He requires you to choose. And you know what I say to young people as I have the opportunity to preach from time to time to groups of young people? I say this: if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus. If I had 1,000 lives, I wouldn't steal one from him. You know why? Because since I made that decision as a teenage young man to simply turn my life over to Jesus and to know for sure that I'm saved and then to give him rule and reign in my life, I'm going to tell you something. I cannot begin to tell you the blessings and all of the things that God's bestowed upon me. I've never sat at the bedside of a dying saint and had them say to me, you know, the one thing I regret is getting saved. But I've had many, many people in their older years say, you know, preacher, I sure do regret I didn't get saved sooner. And listen to me, God isn't going to force anything on anybody. He's paid the ultimate price for our sins. He offers us the gift of eternal life. He says, whosoever will. It's for anybody. It's for everybody. No one's going to stand before God and say, well, yeah, you sent your son. And yes, he paid for the sins of most of the world, but he didn't pay for my sins. I didn't have the opportunity. No one's going to be able to put that accusation at the feet of God. No, you know what he said? He said, whosoever will. Whosoever wants to can be saved. If you're willing to, God will save you. Take the world, but give me Jesus. I'll take him as my Savior, but not only that, I'll take him as my Lord. I'm going to choose him in every area and every arena of my life. I'm going to follow him. You know what? There's all kinds of decisions we have to make after we get saved. You know what? I got a choice to follow the world and listen to the world's music or listen to Christ's music. And you know what? You know, I believe with all of my heart that the more Christian music you listen to, the better your soul is going to be. And more of the world's music you listen to and the messages that are couched in the world's music, the more trouble you're going to have in life. I can take the world's pleasure, or I can take Christ's favor. Come on, young people, you can follow the world's morals or the purity of Jesus Christ. You can follow the world's standard of what is acceptable or the Bible's clear teaching of what is acceptable. I mean, you have to decide. And you know what? Aren't you glad that God not only saved us, but he left us a copy of this precious King James Holy Bible? And you know what? We can read this and we can understand the heart of God, the mind of God. We can read the thou shalt and thou shalt not. And every time we do, we have to make a decision again. Come on, it's okay. We have to make a decision again. You know what? If God says that that's not good for me, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to participate in it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And if God says that I am to do this, there's blessings. Even if I don't understand, I think I'll just obey. I love this little two-word command. I love the fact that it's an invitation. I'm glad that it's not forced upon us, because this command came from Christ. And yes, it demands a cost. And yes, it creates a choice. But the last thing I want to say is this. The command promised to change. The command promised to change. And he saith unto them, follow me. Watch this. And I will make you fishers of men. You know what? When I've had the opportunity to minister and preach through the years, I've watched people come to the crossroad in this matter of deciding whether or not they're going to be saved. And I've watched, yes, many people walk away from that decision and choose not to trust Christ. But you know what? What's been a wonderful thing is to watch the hundreds and hundreds of times people come to the same place, the same point in their life. And you know what they say? If God loved me so much and if Christ suffered that much to pay for my sins, why wouldn't I want Jesus Christ as my Savior? I know a good deal when I see when I'm taking that. God, I am that sinner. God, I don't deserve heaven. God, I deserve hell because of my sin. But Jesus, you loved me and you died for me and you paid for my sins. And if you'll take me and you'll forgive me and you'll clean me up and you'll make me one of your children, Lord, please, please just save me right now. And you know what? Nobody's ever prayed that prayer with a sincere heart where God did not do his part and save them. But you know what you begin to see then? A change come into their life. And I remember my mom and dad, listen, I was just a little guy, but when Jesus came into our home, things begin to change. A lot of the things that my dad used to say that never seemed to bother him, all of a sudden begin to bother him. A lot of the places that we normally would go, all of a sudden we had the Holy Spirit of God in our home and in our hearts. And he would just whisper, "Is this pleasing to the Lord?" And listen, we didn't get it all right overnight. Nobody gets it all right overnight. I'm still not getting it right all the time. But it sure is good to have God guiding you and helping you each and every way. Hey, God will save you, but I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. God will save you, but he saves you to change you. He said, hey, you know how to be a fisher of fish. I'm going to make you something you don't know how to be, that you can't be right now, but I can help you become. And I believe as God looks down for heaven, I'm so glad he not only sees what we are, but he sees what we could be. He sees the unrealized potential of our life. And some things that I'm doing now, if you'd have come to me as a young man at 17 years of age, when I came forward and knelt at an altar and fully gave my life over to the Lord, I was already saved, but I was wanting to run the show. I wanted to have control. I wanted to choose the path, and then I wanted God to bless it. And when I finally came to an altar and said, God, this isn't my life. This is your life. And this isn't my life to live. This is your life to direct. And I got that thing turned around. You know what I found out? You can trust him. You can trust him. And a lot of the things that I would have thought I could never do as I handed the reins of my life over to God, God said, hey, I can make you to become things you can't imagine. I can help you to do things you never thought you could do. I can use you in ways that, you know what, you can't even comprehend. But I need you to do something if those things are going to happen. Here it is. Follow me. Just follow me. Oh, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I never missed a day. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that every moment of every day I've always obeyed that command. I want to stand here and tell you that I'm so thankful that God's patient with me and has been patient with me through the years. Because you know what? Even though I failed him from time to time, he's never failed me. And even though I've walked away from time to time, you know what? He never walked away from me. And the one thing about being born into the family of God is that you have this precious promise where Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to talk to you as we meditate on the message for just a second. I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Remember my daddy sitting in a church lost. Preacher asked that type of a question. Dad didn't know he was saved. I remember being in a church, preacher preaching on salvation. Didn't know I was saved. Walked into the church lost. Walked out of the church saved. What happened? I decided that I'd accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I made the decision. God did all the work, but I had to make the decision. Jesus paid the great sacrifice, paid the great price, but I had to make the decision. Would he be my Savior? If you've never received Christ as your Savior, in just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. And as we give the invitation, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Say, preacher, I need to settle this matter of eternity. I need to have somebody take the Bible and just show me in simple terms what I need to do to be born again, what I need to do to be saved, how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven. We have a man that stands here at the front during the invitation. And if you'll come up and you'll walk directly to him and just say, I need to be saved. I'd like someone to talk to me about being saved. If you're a lady, he'll get a lady that's trained to sit down and talk to you with the scriptures. If you're a man, we'll get a man to do the same thing. Young people, we'll help you. We'll help you. We'll help you with that. Many, many, maybe even all, I don't know, of the folks that are here this morning may already know Jesus as their Savior. By the way, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a good thing to know for sure that you're saved? But what about it? You can be saved and still want to run the show. I did it for a lot of years. You can be saved and kind of have this cavalier attitude where, you know what? God, I want you to follow me. I want to run it. I want to do it. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. Listen to me. Isn't it time we rearrange that relationship? Isn't it time to do what, come on, Andrew and Peter did? To do what James and John did? To do what Matthew did? To do what Philip did? To do what a multitude did? A multitude of people in Jesus' day, they made the same decision. And since then, mercy's sakes, all through the history of Christianity, messages like this in churches like this, in all times, all eras, God's voice whispers down to his children, hey, trust me. Trust me. I'm not going to lead you astray. Stop following the world. Stop chasing sin. Stop listening to the devil. Isn't it time just to follow me? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you move in our midst, dear God. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name.